This week we had, well, I had the school confessions, and we had about over 200 students. And there was a young person that asked me this question that stuck in my mind. And this was his question. He asked, "Father, how is it possible that the saints were able to do what they did, to love people that are not lovable, to be patient with people that are hard to deal with, and to sacrifice their own lives for the good of others and for God?" I was actually amazed because this was a question that came from a young person. And here's the answer. The saints allowed Jesus to invade their life to the very core of who they were. So these people were possessed by a kind of love that allowed them to do things supernaturally that in a natural level they would not have been able to do. Think of someone like Mother Teresa. Here was a lady that took care of people on the streets that were dying or that were almost dead. And how could someone of small stature have that ability day in and day out to care for the dying of the people or the slums in Calcutta? Was she someone as a great person? The answer is no. Saint Teresa of Calcutta was able to do this because she opened her heart and she allowed Jesus to enter in and to invade, if you will, and took over, and Jesus purified her, cleansed her, and baptized her with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's what allowed Saint Teresa of Calcutta to do the amazing things. And this is what I want to talk to you about this afternoon, is what will happen to your life if you allowed Jesus, our Savior, to enter in or to invade every aspect of your life. I use the word invade deliberately because when we think of invasion, we normally think of negative images like somebody going into another territory by force to overtake them or to pillage. But I'm using it in a different way. You see, when you allow Jesus to enter into your life, right? It's a competition between our ego, which is our will, and the will of God. And usually, for those of you that have tried that, there is a disruption that takes place inside. And sometimes it's unsettling, but it always works out for the best. I remember talking to a man, and he was saying, "You know, Father Francis, I'm having a hard time just not being judgmental. Every time I see people, whether it's my coworkers or people in general, I always end up judging people and being critical and falling to gossip against those who are different from me." And then he said, "When I'm at home with my kids, I always lose my patience, and I always end up yelling at them, and sometimes even my own wife." He said, "I keep trying, but I just always fail." And I told this man, stop trying and allow Jesus to fight your battles for you. You see, a lot of times we think that we can do things on our own, right? How many times when you spoke with your children when they were out of control, where did you actually say, "Look, we're Christians. When you don't listen to me, that's not what God wants." See, that's a conversation, right? But when we say things like, "You did this to me and you offended me," the focus is on us. But it should always be about God. Because in the end, we could do everything within our power. We could be kind. We could show mercy. But it is only when we allow Jesus to enter into our hearts are we capable of really doing amazing things. Because we won't be the ones doing them. It would be Jesus reigning in our lives. We are in the third week of Advent, and we're almost done. And Christmas is just around the corner. And think of it as a retreat where you make a list, right? I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to buy gifts, I'm going to be more patient with my family and with other people. Notice that as much and as hard as you try, when you do it on your own, it doesn't work. It's because only Jesus is our source of our salvation. In the first reading from the book of the prophet Zephaniah, the people, the Israelites, have been exiled for a very long time. And the Babylonians basically abused them. The Israelites were treated as if they were lower than dirt. They worked hard. They did the best that they could. But nothing happened. The only time they were freed from slavery was when God lifted the punishment and when God entered into the picture. So Zephaniah was sent into the picture and he was sent to tell the people, look, shout for joy, O daughter of Zion, because the punishment has been lifted and God has turned your enemies away from you. And it goes the same way for you and I. This Sunday is a reminder to us that we should stop trying to work our own salvation. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you should not do good and you shouldn't be kind. I'm not saying any of that at all. But today, the reminder is that there is this person who will come into this world, who will invade us, if you will, in a good way so that we can be transformed. And that person is Jesus Christ. So the question is, what do you think your life will look like if you allow Jesus to take charge of it? You see, God sees us with love and mercy, right? He knows our strengths, he knows our weaknesses, and he knows our stories. But a lot of times, too often, I think we judge other people without knowing their stories. We don't know where they've been. We don't know their background. We don't know how they were raised. But sometimes it's very easy for us and quick for us to say, you know what, all I know is she's unfriendly, or he's not very nice, or he wears funny clothes. But if we really allow Jesus to invade our hearts, then we would see the world and other people not with our own eyes, but through the eyes of love and mercy. We wouldn't be overcritical if someone went through a divorce. Or we wouldn't be too sensitive if someone said something that might have offended us. Because we will think, well, maybe they're just having a bad day. And I think for too long we have seen the world and other people through our own lens. But today it's an invitation for us. When we allow Jesus to enter into our lives, then we see the world in a much different way. You know, the first 2 weeks, it talks about Jesus is supposed to heal the blind and make the lame walk and all these wonderful things. But you know, back in the time of Jesus, even the healers were able to heal other people. That's not why I'm standing here in front of you. Because what makes us unique from other faith traditions is this person, Jesus Christ. It's not what we can do for him. What I want to tell you today is what Jesus wants to do for you if you allow him to enter into your life. If you allow him to be in charge of all those aspects in your life. And I don't know if you've ever noticed, but that's, I think, a lot of the challenges and heartaches and headaches and frustrations that we go through, when we really think about it, it's because we're in charge. If we never allow Jesus to enter in, our egos will always reign supreme. And that's what happens in today's gospel. So John, the Baptist, the preacher, he's preaching the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and people went to him. They said, hey, what should we do to be pleasing to God? And so just like any other prophet that has gone before him, just like any other philosopher, he was like talking about moral reform, right? To the tax collectors, he said, don't overcharge people. Don't cheat them. Because during that time, the tax collectors were always taking advantage of others. And then to the soldiers, naturally said, don't bully other people. You can imagine, especially back in the days, you give a bunch of young men arms, it won't take a long time for them to feel the power and to bully others. And so he tells them, don't bully other people. And this doesn't make him unique because all the other philosophers have talked about the same thing. Moral reform, be just, be kind, be merciful. It's still not different. But then the people started thinking, maybe you're the Messiah. And notice John the Baptist could have said, you know what? Yeah, you're right. But John the Baptist didn't say that at all. He knew his place in a totem pole. He said, it's almost like saying, I'm nobody. He said, the man who will come after me, the thongs of his sandals, I'm not even worthy to untie. This is what it means. Back in the days, When you were a slave, you loosened the sandals or the thongs of somebody else's sandals. But John the Baptist is saying, I'm not even worthy to be a slave of this person. And then he goes on to describe, this person will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And that's what we're talking about. I stand here before you today, not because I'm special, not because I'm different. I stand here because I believe in the salvation of Jesus Christ. I believe deep within my heart that it is only when we allow Jesus to be in charge of our lives, are we able to shout for joy? Are we able to experience the peace? And are we able to experience the love that God wants us to experience so that we can see the world through the eyes of love? I remember hearing a story about this old farmer who was selling a puppy. He had a bunch of puppies, and one day a young boy about 8 years old came to him, and he said, I want to buy a puppy. And he took out a pocket full of change, about 39 cents, and he laid it in front of the farmer. And the farmer was kind of delighted, and he picked up the coins and counted them coin by coin. And afterwards he said, young man, this is exactly the right amount. And then he told his helper to let the puppies come out from the ramp. So you see this four cutest little fur ball running down the ramp, and the kid bent down and he started playing with them, trying to figure out which puppy he wanted to get. And then the fifth puppy comes out, right? Coming from the ramp from where the other puppies had run. But this puppy was hobbling along like there was something wrong with his hind legs. And eventually it got down, and then the kid kind of picked up the puppy. And then he told the farmer, this is the puppy that I want. And the farmer was confused. He's like, son, you don't understand. This puppy has issues. It can't run. Its legs are messed up. It's never going to be able to run just like the other puppies. And then he paused. And then the young kid pulled his blue jeans up. And then when he pulled them up, the farmer saw that he had steel braces on each side of his leg with specially made shoes. And he was shocked. And then the young boy said, you see, I can't run either that well. This puppy needs someone that understands it. You see, we live in a world where people need others to understand them, even if they're in the wrong. I'm not saying we should condone the wrong things that people do, but we're not placed on earth to condemn and to push and to load on people because they're bad or they did something wrong. Today, more than ever, God invites us to be that eyes of mercy. When was the last time you told another person if they were having a bad day, hey, you know what? Pull them aside. You look stressed out. Is there something that I can do for you? Can I take you out to lunch? Can I take you out to dinner? Can we talk? You see, when you allow Jesus to enter into your life, then you begin to do things that you wouldn't do on your own self. I'll end with this last story. I have several brothers, but one of them is really passionate about serving God, but he was always, there was always an edge to him, and every time we got together, his concern was always about, you know, it's about making the money, about closing deals, and even when we had Thanksgiving gatherings, he would always have the Bluetooth, and he would never really, I don't know, be available for anyone. But something happened to him about 6 months ago, and 2 months ago, I saw him at a funeral for my sister-in-law's father, and he was kind of quiet and humble. And I knew it was different because my brother naturally is not a quiet person. And then when I saw him for Thanksgiving, he sat me down and he said, bro, I need to talk to you. I said, sure. And his eyes were on fire. And he was just like, you know what? Something happened to me or has been happening to me for the last 6 months. And he said, you know, I never wanted to read anything. You guys have given me a book about how to be a better Catholic, how to get stronger in your faith. He said, you know, I never read any of them because that's not who I am. But then he said, God did something in me. Did you know, he said, Francis, that I read the Bible from cover to cover in the last 5 months? And he said, I'm not saying this to brag to you because this is not me. This is not normal. This is not something that I would do. And then he said something else. He said, you know, before I always have to be right. I always have to prove to people, the ones that are trying to talk down on me, to put them in their place. And he said, now it doesn't matter to me. What happened? Jesus invaded my brother's life. You see, as you prepare for the coming of our Savior, the question is, who is Jesus Christ to you? Right? We're not here, right, to play games or to think, you know what, he's just a healer, he's just a prophet. No. Ask yourself deep in your heart, who is Jesus Christ to you? And what do you think will happen if you allowed him to invade your heart? You'd be surprised and be amazed at what he can do. And I end with that sentence by that young man. How are these saints able to do amazing things? For one thing, that John the Baptist told every other person, it's because Jesus comes with a winnowing fan in his hand, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. When you get out of the way, and when Jesus is in control, you will do amazing things beyond your imagination. Amen?